everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom is on the other side of the glass with a big smile on his face. He always is in a great mood, Mr. Fairbanks, and he'll be making sure all of the buttons are pushed in the right direction. As he says a little prayer, he's engineering our show today on this Friday, September 25th, 2015. We're live each weekday, noon to 1. KVOI is our home station, AM 1030. And, of course, we stream and podcast the show, so folks nowadays don't need to be by a radio. If you're around a computer, you can hear the program anywhere in the world. KVOI live streams it, and as does BuckmasterShow.com, my website. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to our media friends for supporting our work here. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Daryl Cole. He knows what's going on with the Tucson transportation scene. At least he should, and I know he does. He's the transportation director for the city of Tucson. Joining me to question Mr. Cole is Tim Steller. Tim is with us, the columnist for the, almost said infamous, columnist.
Notorious.
Notorious Arizona Daily Star. You can see Tim's work three, sometimes four times a week. And, of course, on Facebook, he's constantly, I don't know when he sleeps, putting stuff up on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. No, I figured out how you do it while you're sleeping.
Oh, is that how you did it? Yeah, tell me after the
I'll
break
be
how you do
my
it.
Dreams yeah,
okay.
Tonight.
The live line number is 790-2040, and we want to open the live line right now because if you have a, put favorite in quotes, pothole, one that really bugs you, we might be able to get something done on that right away or very close to it anyway, because this is the guy that can make things happen, Daryl Cole. He's got a pad of paper in front of him, and he'll take down what the location is. He'll make a couple of calls, and who knows? That pothole could be fixed very soon. So 790-2040. The Facebook address, Bill Buckmaster, and we're now into Twitter. So it's at Buckmaster Show. Tim, we've already heard from you. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Nice to see you. Thanks for inviting me.
And Daryl, good to see you again.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Buckmaster.
Before we talk about the recent transit strike and its settlement and the transportation department's role in that, I want to begin with roads. Overall, we're in the third year of a five-year program to fix our roads, correct?
That is correct. We had a, of course, the voter-approved November 2012 bond election, and we're just beginning our third year. Our fiscal year goes July 1st to June 30th, and we have just begun getting ready to begin our third year in the $20 million per year program over the 5 years. In fact, we just opened bids on a contract, I think this week, 2 days ago, must have been Wednesday, opened bids on that. We have not awarded that, but it's about half of this year's program in one project. So we're kind of excited about that. The numbers look real good. We're pleased with that. And so haven't awarded it yet, but here in the next week or two, we should award that and get started again.
So how does it look? I mean, when you first came to town from El Paso, you drove the roads, and I'm sure you weren't very impressed. How does it look to you now?
We've made a lot of progress, especially on the arterial system. The arterial roads in our system, 600 centerline miles or so, were in pretty poor condition. As we know, we had not put a lot of pavement preservation dollars in those. And since then, you've seen an investment of almost, well, pushing $60 million over the last 3 years, $20 million that the mayor and council put in the 2012 fiscal year. They put out of a general fund and HERF funds. It was a precursor to the Proposition 409 program. And then we've put in another $40 million so far, approximately, these last two fiscal years. It's made a lot. You have $60 million in investment and primarily in the arterial system.
All right, let's bring Tim Steller in. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey there. What project are you talking about, the one that's going to be bid it out, or that's now in the process of bidding it?
Well, it's the Proposition 409, and each year we put out, we get a new apportionment of dollars. We mm-hmm. actually sell the bonds. In this case, we'll sell the $20 million. We've sold the $20 million of the bonds, the proceeds from the bond election. We have those proceeds in hand now. And now we go out and actually put a bid package together for rehabilitation, fog seals, surface seals, mill and overlays and such. And we now have put that bid out. It was estimated around $10 million, and we now have open bids, meaning we put contracts out there in RFP, and we now receive those bids back from the respective contractors, and we've opened them. We have not finished the award, but we're expecting an award here in the next few weeks and then initiate the actual work again.
So are you talking about a specific part of town or a specific road?
It's a specific package of roads, and the specific ones, and I have a list of them that I wrote down in here.
You're just give us a couple of the highlights.
Yeah. 22nd Street, Tucson to Alvernon, Alvernon, Fort Lowell to Speedway, Camp Lowell, Columbus to Swan, Corona over there by the airport.
Yeah.
Country Club south of Drexel, Kolb, Golf Links to Irvington, Speedway and Main Streets both in there, and I think there's a few others as well.
Okay, Tim, before I go back to you, we've got a couple of callers who would like to make a pothole report, so let's go first to Jim. I think Jim wants to talk a little bit about Campbell Road conditions, our friend Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Bill. Yes, sir. I just wanted to talk about the brick mosaics at the crosswalks on Campbell between Speedway and Fort Lowell. They're broken. The bricks are pulling out, and literally brick chips are being thrown into people's windshields.
Whoa.
Secondly, on Campbell, that beautification project, I'm getting reports that literally people from the neighborhood associations are coming out and harassing the contractors about how the cement is poured and how things are being positioned, and city workers that don't have written plans for the contractors for those cement cutouts in the middle of Campbell. Huh. So there's a problem on that stretch from Speedway to Fort Lowell, and I hope that can be addressed.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
The Campbell Street project, of course, has been on our books for several years. It's federal money that has come into the region, and we are out, as you said, we're out in the construction phase of this, and actually started construction. We had worked with the neighborhood associations for several years in trying to scope this and put this in position in there. This is a kind of a commercial. It's a commercial area, some strip malls, or if you will, strip stores in that area. We do have, obviously, we have a set of plans and a landscaping plans and the contractor, and as well as the city, we do have those. And we are authorizing and overseeing that work out there. And if there's specific issues, we'll go out and look at those. The brick issue you bring up is something we will look at. You're probably talking about crosswalks where the brick's broken up in those over time. Anytime you have two different types of materials out there and your riding surface, they don't always meet up because you have a hard surface with the bricks and then you have a flexible pavement that approaching
right.
those. So
but you're going to take a look at that
we'll
one.
We'll take a
sure.
look at that one for sure,
okay,
yes.
Mike is waiting. He's got a pothole report. Go ahead, Mike.
About a half-mile area on Tanque Verde west of Sabino Canyon and Sabino Canyon north of Tanque Verde for about a half-mile. There's a lot of potholes now after we got the rain on Sabino Canyon. The Tanque Verde, you know, every once in a while they come by and throw some tar in the potholes, and it's just atrocious. I mean, it's just like riding on railroad ties.
Okay. All right. Darrell Cole.
I'm familiar, of course, with that area. And what you're describing as far as we have two different measures of how we patch potholes, you're probably talking about an emulsion that we spray in there and then the chips that we put on there. And that's just more of a sealing it out and putting chips back in and getting your surface. I guess you're talking about how rough that ride is after we finish. That's basically a fit and finish issue from the folks that are actually doing the work. And so we stay on top of that pretty hard to make sure the crews, we want to leave it level, obviously a good ride quality end.
Okay, we got another one through Facebook at the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. This one is Kinney Road just before Western Way. there's a dangerous, what our friend on Facebook calls a dangerous pothole. So you might want to check that one out. Kinney, just before Western Way. 790-2040. Tim, you want to change subjects here briefly?
Or can I just ask one more
on this topic,
which is, so we got this $100 million in bond money we're in the midst of spending. Is there a plan going forward once that's spent to maintain what we've already done in this project or to continue to maintain the other roads that aren't being treated in this project?
One of the things that we have done early in the early years as we're doing mill and overlays and we're doing structural overlays as well as reconstruction, in the latter year, in the fifth year, sometimes late fourth and the end of the fifth year, we're coming back and doing a fog seal on those exact same roadways, which is extending the lifespan. Lifespan of pavement is usually about 20 years from the time you first design it and build it in. You're looking at overlays about 12 to 15 years. So if we can put a fog seal, which is a thin layer of asphalt on top of those and seal that surface, you're extending the life of the pavement. So we usually have two treatments on those. We're putting the actual overlay in, and then we're putting a seal, a little fog seal on those just to kick that lifespan out even farther. So that's the beginning of that. In addition, you're seeing the Pima County bonds are going to be coming up here in November, and the city's portion of those will be about $65 million over the period of time after they sell those bonds, or after if they're approved. We're hoping the voters do support that and approve that, and there'll be some work in that for the pavement
the
we
city,
have out there.
Yeah. So, but over the long run, it just seems like neither Pima County nor the city of Tucson has the money to maintain the roads we've got. I hear what you're saying about possible bond money we're spending now and then possible bond money that'll be coming up. But it seems like we're broke as far as keeping these roads up out of our general fund. Let me put it that way.
The transportation folks, we get HERF funds.
All right, right.
The Highway User Revenue Fund, which is basically your gas taxes. Gas taxes, as you well know, have been fixed since the early 90s. We have not had a fix on that at all, most at the federal level and the state level. The vehicles we have are more efficient. We're driving less miles than we have historically as far as that. And so, yeah, there is a fixed amount of dollars that goes around for that.
All right, folks really want to talk about potholes, but Tim and I do want to talk about the recently concluded transit strike. So we're going to address all of that. The folks are on hold. Be patient. We'll get some more pothole reports. But right now we're going to take our first break. Our bumper music on Fridays, we like to turn to the 60s. Feels very comfortable for me, your host. Jimmy Webb, one of the great songwriters. Here he is performing a really iconic song from the 60s. By the time I get to Phoenix, he wrote it, and here he is playing it and singing it.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note that I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the book.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Jeff Rogers and John Munger, plus that song in your head that just won't go away on Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts, and our archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
I am a lineman for the county.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Sounds of Jimmy Webb. That's a great album where he performs all his big hits from the 60s. It's called 10 Easy Pieces. He wrote it. He performs it. He doesn't have, maybe, some would say, maybe the greatest voice in the world, but he certainly has the feeling for the way those songs are written, because he did it. And, of course, he had so many great iconic hits from the 60s. Daryl Cole is with us. Mr. Cole is the transportation director for the city of Tucson. And Tom, do we still have some folks who are waiting? Yes, we do. And they've been very patient. We've been talking about potholes. Tim Steller is here as well. Let's go to Rick. Hey, Rick, how are you? Hi. Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Rick.
How are you, my friend?
Doing well.
You're doing all that work at Campbell between Fort Lowell and Grant or whatever, and at the south, would be the southeast corner of Campbell and Grant, there's a pothole the size of a 20-inch tire that I literally hit this morning.
Oh, my. And,
yeah, it's ugly. And it's just decaying right there at the intersection near the crosswalk. Somebody could trip on it physically. So that probably needs somebody's immediate attention. But I have another quick question.
Okay.
Before, the medians all were maintained to Parks and Rec as part of their budget. Then, I believe about 3 or 4 years ago, they transitioned that to the transportation department, and I could be mistaken. But we have a bunch of roundabouts throughout this city that are very popular with neighborhoods, but they've actually become an overgrown safety hazard to people coming around those, trying to make the circle left turn or whatever it is. And I question who is, number one, responsible for maintaining those roundabouts? And number two, when we talk about HERF funding, the Department of Transportation has utilized more HERF funding for mass transit over the last 10 years, disproportionate to the amount of road pavement repairs that have been inclusive. And I think it's a matter of management of the budget and forcing SunTran and VanTran to find a way to make people who utilize those services without being punitive, but also to make them responsible for that particular mode of transportation.
Okay, Rick Grinnell, thank you very much for joining the show. Go ahead, Daryl.
First of all, Rick, thank you for the report of the pothole. We'll get that reported in. Definitely we'll give you a number here in a few minutes on where we can call potholes and requests in. So that's the first thing. On the traffic circles in the neighborhoods that you're talking about, most of the traffic circles in the chicanes and the edges of where we have landscaping is usually maintained by the neighborhood associations themselves, and they've been put in by those neighborhood associations. Yes, transportation did take over the maintenance of the medians, and it's been many years ago, from Parks and Recreation, and that is her funds to do that. And so we will work with the specific neighborhoods to try to get them to clean those up, and especially from a visibility point of view of what you discussed. On the mass transit side of it, we don't use any HERF funds whatsoever for mass transit. That is all the general fund. HERF funds are used for the separately for the transportation needs for pavement and your infrastructure needs, if you will. And so general fund supports the your mass transit.
All right, here's Tim Steller of the Star.
Well, speaking of transit, can you tell us, you were obviously, as transportation director, you oversee the contract with Professional Transit Management, right? That's you're the department. So how come the city didn't avert this strike that we just had before it happened?
That's a 42 day question, okay, or something, yeah, like that.
And you've got about 2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, we've been in discussions with the Teamsters and our contractor for quite some time. Basically, with our contractor, who has been in contract with the Teamsters. We knew we had a contract coming up for renewal going on. We put in about $2.7 million in the budget up front for that, in anticipating that, you know, the negotiations and that contract. That the Teamsters themselves did not think that was adequate, as I understand it. I was not in those negotiations directly, but we have a contractor in there to do that. So that was more between our contract and the Teamsters themselves. But we did anticipate that. That's the kind of money in. We know discussions took place very early in the act. So averting that, the Teamsters, of course, from many, many years ago, have the right to strike, and they exercise that right. We, of course, the city didn't want to see that happen and wanted to do everything we could not to prevent that to happen, and gave all the cards we could to our contractor. Please, here's all the money you have on the table. Please do everything you can to avert this and not go through this, because it's not good for anybody, the Teamsters, the city, mm-hmm. and basically the community itself, who was lost without rides out there. And that's what we tried to do.
Did it surprise you, though, when it did happen so quickly?
I don't think you're ever you're always caught off guard anytime something like that happens. It's did we hear about it coming just beforehand? Yes. But yeah, you're always surprised, and you're always thinking that we can get through this. We can find a way to find a meeting of the minds. The key issue is we had a budget that was already passed by our city council. We had X amount of dollars that we could work with, and those dollars were on the table and available to our contractor to work with the Teamsters on the issue.
So in the end, the city was asked the contractor to use some savings on gas. I guess that's maybe the one other thing that you could have thrown on the table, if you had known it was going to come to this.
That was an early, after the strike had already taken place, that was in the mix fairly early. We know that gas prices from where we budget, where I've been going down, we all know we pay less at the gas pumps ourselves. Mm-hmm. We use a national organization, an actual budget, and what we budget per gallon on diesel, CNG, and such. So we knew that. So we saw some of that coming. So that was on the table well into the end of the process as far as coming to have those conversations. From what I understand, the numbers and difference were quite different from what we're doing as far as
The gap between the union and the management.
Yeah. The gap was quite large.
Coming up on October the 2nd, that's this a week from today. Hard to believe. The city of Tucson and the RTA are going to be opening up the Keno Parkway at 22nd Street, the intersection and Gateway. That was a huge bridge project, wasn't it?
Yes, we're almost 2 years in construction on that project. It's one of the largest bridges that we've built in the Tucson urban environment in many years, other than on the freeway system itself. The city typically doesn't put in very large bridges there, so we're very proud of this particular design. It's done very well, and it's functioning very well. It gets over the the area and really serves that part of our community.
It'll be the kind of the ribbon cutting that's happening 9 a.m. next Friday. Matthew has been waiting patiently at 790-2040 on our live line. Matthew, you're with the transportation director for the city, Daryl Cole. Go ahead.
Yeah, first of all, Daryl, I think you do a good job. I appreciate how much work you have done to improve the streets of Tucson with the $100 million that you guys were allocated. And now you guys appear to be ahead of budget. The numbers were better, and you had some cost savings because of the economy and other things on building roads. But are you trying to transition to a point where you do not have to go back for additional bond money? You know, because you're going to be under tremendous. The county is going to follow your lead and ask the voters for $200 million to fix their roads. But that's putting a lot of pressure on people with regards to property taxes. Is the city have a plan? Second thing is, if there's a chance on the 22nd on Keno, if there's a chance to get a sign that tells people South Tucson is over in that certain direction, I would really appreciate that, too. Thank you.
Okay, two-part question from Matthew. Does the city have a plan is part one.
Well, we obviously have a paving plan that we have. We have what we call a pavement management information system that tracks all the pavement conditions, whether it be residential or arterial, within the community. It's a rating system, and then we can actually put a budget allocation, future budget allocation, what we require to keep it in fair or, you know, standard acceptable condition. The key to the issue is that where are we going to find those revenues in the future to deal with that. So, that yeah, we have a plan from how we want to execute it. The revenue side and using gas taxes to do that is limiting. So we're going to have to find some new ways and new paths to generate revenues to keep our pavements in condition going forward. So, but yes, we're actively working that. And the Pima County bonds, the city will receive approximately $65 million out of that, okay, out of those proportionments. Back to the 22nd in Keno, mm-hmm, yes, I think we can probably work with you on getting South Tucson. We're real good partners with that, with this community, and I think we can help them along that path. And Matthew, thank you again for the call.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. All right. We're a little bit over our time with you, Daryl Cole, but there's some information that would really help folks. If you want to write this number down, if you're available and you're not driving along, 791-3152, and it's kind of like a pothole hotline, right, Daryl? Is that
yes,
kind of what it is?
Yes.
Potline, maybe?
Potline. Hey, thank you, Tim. That's good. A potline, 791-3152.
Yeah, town like Tucson, that could be misunderstood.
Yes. But, yeah. And also your website has projects either underway, going to be underway, right?
Yeah, we are, if you go to the City of Tucson webpage, mm-hmm, let's go to the City of Tucson and pull it down. We have several different websites, the project-specific websites, but the Proposition 409 has an interactive map that, mm-hmm, will actually tell you when the street's being paved, where it was, what it costs. You can click on it, and that's www.tucsonaz.gov/streetbonds.
Street bonds.
Street bonds. So if you go in there, and it's the interactive map is very good. If you click on a specific street, it tells you how much the cost is, what the length of it was, when it's programmed to be repaired, or if it has been repaired. I really highly recommend going on the website and look at that. It gives you lots of information on what's been done and what's going to be done.
All right, tucsonaz.gov/street-bonds. All right, Daryl Cole. Thanks, Daryl. Hope you have a good weekend. And I'm sure you're going to be making some calls right after the show about these potholes.
Thank you for having us on.
Don't want to put any pressure on you or anything. All right, Tim Steller, stick around. Dan Shear joins us. Our roundtable portion of the hour is next. But now, Samora Jimmy Webb, another one of his big hits from 1972, Galveston.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston.
What's the wildest event in Tucson? ZooSon. Join Reed Park Zoo for a night of fun, food, entertainment, and auctions at the 22nd annual ZooSon, presented by Casino del Sol Resort. Come and be a part of this incredible event with us on October 16th at 6 p.m. Experience tastings from over 25 Tucson restaurants, live music, entertainment, specialty drinks, and zoo animal encounters. All proceeds directly benefit the Reed Park Zoo. For tickets and more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Mike Truba, executive vice president of Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Wow, what a lineup. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company. Yes, now offering flowers, lounge furniture, decor, and so much more. On Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:37 on this Friday afternoon. That's the music of Jimmy Webb. He's our 60s bumper music, or for those that don't know the term bumper, kind of a radio thing that means like intermission music. There you go. And so as we get now into another segment, the Friday Roundtable, Dan Shear joins us from the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. He so ably edits both of those fine publications. And Tim Steller is columnist with the Arizona Daily Star. Tim has work that appears in the Star 3 times scheduled, but sometimes maybe longer.
Every day sometimes.
Anyway, Dan, hey, how you doing? And thanks for hosting the show while I was up in the wilds of northern Saskatchewan.
Doing great and glad you had a good chance to get away.
Oh, it was great. Hey, what's going on with the bonds in your area? What's the sense you're getting?
We have received just in the last week several letters to the editor from people who are supporting specific projects in there. The library, there's a multi-generational center proposed for Sarita. You know, there's the Kanoa Ranch project. There's a lot on there for us, Food Bank in Sarita, which is asking for very, very little money and, in fact, has kicked in a lot of its own. So there's a lot of interest there. But I'll tell you what, it's the people who aren't talking who probably are going to be settling this thing. Mm-hmm. And so I would say right now, it's right up the middle. Our chamber came out with their endorsements a couple of weeks ago. They backed 3 of the 7, which I'm glad for, not necessarily what they actually supported or didn't support, but rather that they were thinking through each issue, which is exactly what we all need to do.
Right, yeah, that's one of the things I'm so happy that the supervisors did, which is to break this down into 7 issues that we can, each of them have tempting morsels in them.
Yes.
But we can decide whether to, swallow them or not. We can choose.
And there is no public polling that we have privy to, but we're hearing all sorts of some private polling was done, and I've heard 5 to 7 in the private poll. 5 of the 7 would indicate that they were passing, but who knows for what that's worth.
Right, and I've heard the same thing. I've actually heard that all of them are barely, and so we'll see as it gets closer, but I think it'll all come down to who actually shows up, who actually is going to cast a ballot for this. So I think the higher the turnout, the bigger chance there is that it won't, that they won't get through.
Do you have a forum that we can mention?
Yeah. 2:00 at Kanoa Hills Rec Center on October 7th down in Green Valley. We are going to have Gary Davidson, who was on the bond committee, and Larry Hecker. And then we're probably going to have a member of the chamber also, since we're kind of in the middle. And basically what we're going to be doing is firing questions at them. We don't want to have big, long presentations and spins and all of that. We want them to answer our questions, which is very much the way Green Valley works.
Okay, and while we're doing our promotions, I'll promote our half-hour debate here on the bonds that we're doing with Mr. Joe Bogart is going to be speaking against, and then Larry Hecker, who's all over the place, who is speaking in favor of the bonds. That's Wednesday's show, 12:04 on Buckmaster. Now, Tim, I keep cutting you off. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just think one interesting part of this, one interesting factor that's going to affect turnout is that there's really an active, well-funded pro campaign and active but very poorly funded no campaign. And, so that could make the final difference. If these are close, there's people actually, campaigning on behalf of the bonds, and it's not, of course, saying no one's campaigning on. Consider your 7 questions carefully. It's all vote all yes or vote all no.
And that is so disappointing. And I will tell you this, down in our area, there are as many yes signs as there are no signs up all over the place. And so there are a lot of people been down there from both sides. But I agree with you. And don't vote just because it's going to benefit your area. If we did that, we'd probably be voting no on all of them down where we are. But the county as a whole is going to benefit from some of these projects, and they're necessary. I think what each person needs to do is develop a philosophy, okay? Should we fix up what we already own, or should we build new stuff in hopes that we're going to be able to afford to maintain it in the future? So are all these projects good? Well, not all of them, but most of them are pretty darn good. The question is now the time for some of them? And I've done it on your show before, Bill, railed on the open space. I just think that that open space is very important, but I don't think now is the time to dump $95 million on it.
That's the biggest item, right?
It is, yes, and it is just, and we spent so much on this already, and on your show, we had Chuck Huckleberry flat out say, no, there is not a sense of urgency to okay this one right now.
Okay. That will be, of course, the big kind of the marquee issue for many people, the bonds, the 7 bond questions. There are 3 incumbents who are standing for re-election in the city of Tucson. So the city of Tucson has the ballot that is kind of merged with the county ballot this time around. So you got your 3 council people. You got a couple of bookkeeping. They're not bookkeeping.
The charter changes.
Yeah, they're actually better. They're more important than bookkeeping items.
There's
a couple of charter changes. One would give the mayor more power. He doesn't really have all that much power right now.
Right.
And then there would be, I think, a pay raise for council members.
Yeah, that's separate from the charter change. That's a fascinating one, because they have this whole system, a committee that reviews city council pay so that the council itself doesn't have to.
You think that's going to
pay? Dan, it's probably as popular as raising the pay for the state legislators.
Well, one item on the ballot that looks like a shoo-in, in fact, every time this has come up on any ballot in any city in Arizona, it has passed usually by a 70-30 margin, and that is doing away with red light cameras.
Yeah.
Tim, you wrote about this. You kind of have mixed feelings about it because we – of course, I'll admit I got flashed a couple of years ago at Grant and Swan, and I tried now to avoid that intersection just because I have bad feelings, bad memories.
But PTSD?
But then you wrote about, and I agree with you in your column, that it's kind of with mixed feelings on this one because law enforcement insists that these cameras are saving lives.
Right. So, you know, you have to kind of go. In my case, I went with my gut, which is my gut tells me that this does work the way they're saying. But I have to acknowledge there are studies out there showing that it doesn't work. And, of course, there's the financial incentive that makes you wonder whether the police don't support it because you know, the city itself, police themselves, you know, get mm-hmm. money out of this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't doubt that it's going to pass, that the ban will pass. Yeah. And it's just such a shame because the city has had ample opportunities to fix some of the problems with
some
this.
Of the kinks in that system could have been ironed out.
Right. And they chose not to. I don't fully grasp why not. It could be the money, but but it seems like now they're going to lose the whole system probably, as opposed to losing some of the money out of the system by making it more
that would have seemed
friendly
like
to drivers.
That would have seemed like the obvious compromise to all of this. Dan, we had information this week about a poll that Representative Congresswoman McSally is leading the challengers. The challengers, Dr. Matt Hines on the Democratic side and Victoria Steele, who was on our show this week, State Representative Steele, who indicated, by the way, that she's seriously considering that at some point she's going to have to resign her state representative seat to do this this congressional run. It's time-consuming, and she'll need to work on that full-time. But right now, Dan Scheer, McSally seems to have a very comfortable lead.
Right, and I spoke to her office this week, and this came up, and they just said, look, just another reminder to us that this is probably one of the top five most competitive congressional districts in the nation. They know it's not going to be easy moving forward. Of course, you have her campaign staff versus her, you know, her office staff, and never the two should meet, is the way it should be. But the interesting number in this poll was that she did have a 55% favorability rating, and the breakdown was 39% of the people polled were Democrats, 36% Republicans, 25% independent. So people like her, but also what came out of the poll was, yeah, they'd really prefer a Democrat in there. But I'll tell you what, Pima County, this area over to, you know, Cochise County where the district also is, they appreciate a hard worker. We had that in Gabrielle Giffords. We had that in Ron Barber. We have it in her. And I think what she does over the next year is really going to play as well as what her party is.
Yeah, it's been and she's been smart the way she's managed the seat. The news this week that she is opposing efforts to shut down the government because of Planned Parenthood funding. You know, that shows that she's paying attention to the kind of stands. I mean, it could be a principled stand, of course, but that's the kind of stand that you'd expect out of a kind of middle of the road Congress member from this district.
Yeah, I think she knew that was a very good thing to say right now, especially because right after this poll came out, the Democrats said, yeah, but she's the kind of person who'd want to shut down the government over Planned Parenthood. And she came back and said, no, I'm not.
Yeah, right.
So, Dan, also there's an item you're going to be focusing on, Soharita.
Yeah, we had a poll done down in Soharita, and that was a residence poll. And basically the question was, do you like what's going on here? And a real short synopsis of it, people love the town, people love the government, people love the lifestyle, but we need more retail down there, and we would love to work down there. And also for the first time in my 7 years down in that area, I've heard that water is a concern. And it's probably a concern for two reasons. One is Rosemont, which of course this has come up before in Green Valley, but I've never heard it out of Soharita. And then number two is there are plans for heavy growth down there when they take out the pecan orchards and everything. But again, that's over, you know, the next several decades. It's not imminent, but it is on the drawing board. There have been public meetings, so people are now thinking, do we have the water to support all of these homes? So some good questions came out of it.
And you have that kind of that lake in Saw River.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be a daily reminder for a lot of people about water.
Isn't it kind of the iconic symbol?
Yeah. It was built by the developer, and then it was given over to the town. And so it's very shallow. So it's not using a whole lot of water. But people like to walk around it and remind ourselves that, you know, there is water around. So it's a good thing. We have got on October 1st at 6:30, if you're down in Saw River, we are going to do a public forum on education, public safety, and economic development. We've got 12 movers and shakers from around town who are going to be addressing those. We did this 2 years ago, and it's a great time for the community to come together, talk about what's important to us, and let your leaders know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I thought about you, Dan, when I saw on Facebook one of your residents in Green Valley had posted that complaining that it seems like there's road construction on every corner right now in Green Valley. Did you happen to see the photo that gentleman posted?
No, but I drive it every day. But you know what? I will tell you this. Someone asked me the other day, compared to the rest of the county, what are your roads like? And I said, we've got nothing to gripe about. No. We really don't. Not that they don't gripe, because, you know, they do that down there, and they're very, very good at it. And usually they call me and do it. And you know, that's okay to gripe, but our two main problems.
They're five-star gripers.
Yeah, they are. Right. But our two main gripes have been taken care of by the county in the last 5 years.
Right. I mean, you can't, you hear this a lot, but you can't complain about our roads being in terrible shape and then complain when they're being repaired. I mean, come on, you pick one.
Yes,
or
you
the
can.
Other.
Okay. And they
can.
Do.
You can, but you're not being very sensible.
Well, it is interesting to hear Mr. Cole talking about Daryl Cole, our interview at noon, Tim, talking about how much progress they have actually made.
Yeah, they have. It's true.
But there's a long way
to go.
There's
so much far to go, and it's, of course, on the arterial roads. And, and of course, before long, the hue and cry will be about our neighborhood roads, which in many cases are falling apart. And then there's just the long-term prognosis that worries me, which is, okay, we're bonding for this, bonding for that, and then when this money runs out, where is the money going to come from to do the next round of repairs or to maintain the work we've already done?
All righty, then. We're going to wrap it up on our Friday roundtable. Dan Scheer, thanks for coming up from Green Valley.
Thank you very much.
And Tim Steller, I'll let you now get back to work as you craft your column. Can you give us a hint of subject matter?
Yeah, I will give you a hint. In fact, I'll tell you exactly what it's about. I'm really interested in these Hagen supermarkets that
opened and
are now all closing
in
a three-state area. It's just an incredible... incredibly disastrous corporate merger, just a fiasco, and it's, of course, affecting the people who work there, shop there.
What happens to them now?
Well,
hopefully that will be answered in the Tim Steller column in The Star on Sunday. Tim, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Dan,
you too.
As well. All right.
Thanks.
I was you. Both bruised so easily, too easily to let it show. I love you, and that's all I know.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business and award-winning Tucson publicist, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It is a perfect time of year up in the high country. The aspens are now churning a golden color of bronze, whatever. And it's a great time to be in the Gila National Wilderness, Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses and Georgetown Cabins. You can find the full listing of places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, at their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of our Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great this Friday, Bill. So much going on this week.
Oh, I know. There's a great fundraiser coming up for a wonderful cause for therapy dogs.
There sure is. And you know, a delicious place to kick off the weekend is Plaza Colonial tonight at 6:30, when a number of local restaurants gather together to serve up samples of their very best dishes, all in the name of charity, as you said. Some of the participants include Tavolino and Pastiche and El Charro, along with purveyors of premium wines, and proceeds from the event will go to Gabriel's Angels, that local charity that offers pet therapy for at-risk kids. Such a great organization, as you said. The tickets are only $65 per person, and you can buy them on-site this evening at Plaza Colonial over on Skyline and Camp.
And they were featured here on the Buckmaster Show yesterday. Lacey, the three-legged dog, came into the studio and stole my heart. What a darling therapy dog. Lacey, I love you. What else is going on this weekend?
You know, Bill, with its roots in New Orleans, the Sazerac cocktail turns 165 this year. And there's no better place to go this weekend for its birthday bash than Tucson's Southern Fusion Gastropub, The Parish, on North Oracle Road. Now, tonight and tomorrow night, they'll be storming the Sazerac with $6 Sazeracs, as well as live music and some great Southern fare. Now, this cocktail is typically made with rye whiskey, bitters, and absinthe, but there's always some creative variations on the theme. It'll be fun to see what the Parish does. So I say pay tribute to a truly historic libation and storm the Sazerac this weekend.
Papa, it is Greek festival time.
Indeed, a hearty chorus of ofas.
Oh, I think I may have blown
St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church on Fort Lowell Road, the 39th annual Greek festival. Come hungry, Bill. Prepare to feast on all the great stuff. Gyros, Thanakopoulos, Sakanaki, along with Greek beer, Greek wines, Greek dessert, live music and dance lessons, and you've got one of the best nights out for family fun. A complete schedule is at TucsonGreekFest.com. So whether you opa or oompa, doesn't make any difference. Check out the Greek festival this weekend.
And we'll check out your column as well, which is the subject matter of...
Absolutely. Gin is in again. And I talked to a couple of local barmen who talked about gin's next generation. Fascinating story.
Have a great weekend.
Cheers.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. We are wholly responsible for the program's content. Our thanks to all of our friends here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, and of course the ace production man himself, Jerry Cross. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.